and gentlemen, I am your host, Mark Delaney Wheeler, and welcome to Kayak Fishing Radio Mid-Atlantic. First off, let me apologize for last week. I had no power, which means no computer, which means no blog talk radio, and I do apologize. But we're up and running tonight. It's good to hear. It's good to be back. So let's get right to it. We saw it with some saltwater reports. We're starting in South Carolina. Basically, you guys are in full swing. You've got pretty much everything running around. I heard of a couple of jacks being caught, really nice jacks off of the South Carolina coast, along with bunches of cobia and king mackerel. And the king mackerel are all the way up in southern North Carolina, too. So that's definitely a good thing to hear as well. Inshore ports are good on the drum, speckled trout, if you can find them. Like I said, South Carolina and Southern North Carolina are in full summer swing. We all kind of, missed the slam by our first tropical storm of the season. But it's pushed some nice water in, I could say that much. Moving up to North Carolina. Cobia are being caught left and right. So if you can get out there and push out of, let's say, Hatteras or even farther south, fish around like Avalon Pier, they're doing really well off the pier, so that says something. So definitely go check that out. Good inshore. Heard of a few tarpon off of Pamlico. So that's definitely a good sign. I know they're out there, so get, try to find them, folks. All right, let's see here. What else is going on? Up in Delaware, they're in full swing right now. Stripers, croakers, spot, black drum, you name it, they've got it. The usual suspects, so, get up on there, Delaware, and get in them. Maryland, starting off with the Bay forecast. You're looking great. Have an excellent spring striper season from everything I've heard, along with some other species mixed in. Some bigger chomper blues have been caught, which is a good thing. It's good to hear that they moved up the Bay this year, along with some really good spot croaker and perch bites. Going on the ocean side, flounder bite out of Ocean City has been incredible, apparently. They've been doing really well right there in the main harbor, or even out up to a mile offshore in some of the smaller wrecks, tearing up the flounder. So good on you guys out of OC. Moving down to Virginia Eastern Shore, they've been really doing well out there. Black, red drum, really good bites. I think we just passed a new moon, so that would have been a really good bite. So things will be good out there. Did hear reports of some really nice flounder coming out of Kitts Peak, along with the first sheep's head being caught in the pound nets around there. Everyone hates them, but they're great forecaster of things to come, the pound nets. And also a pound net up near Wachaburrig had a tarpon in it recently. So that's definitely a good sign, good water temps off those flats in the Eastern Shore. Down here in the Lower Bay, Virginia Beach, Norfolk area, things are really heating up. HRBT, if you want flounder, that's where I would go right now. We've had a couple of little storms move through, so the water's still a little muddy, but still it's enough visibility to find the flounders. Anywhere around the HRBT is good. Moderate Merrimack, always the spot for spot and croaker. And then the Bay Bridge Tunnel has been really good. Early morning or evening for striper bite around the island, along with some really nice flounder action in the channels. So definitely get out there and check that out. It's just some really good bites going on, even inshore. If folks that if you don't know, Lynn Haven has flounder in it. Lynn Haven has trout, and you didn't hear from me, but they also have puppy drum. So everyone get off of the Rudy bandwagon and jump into Lynn Haven. Really good bites there. I was just there a couple of days ago, had a couple of trout, and watched a guy in a boat flounder fishing, pulling a pretty substantial puppy drum. Had to be around mid-20s. Really nice fish. And the flounder bites were really good. Underneath the bridge, in front of Bubba's, you just got to make sure there's not a lot of traffic. Any of the smaller channels and sloughs, things like that, will definitely produce some really nice flounder along with some trout. The trout are a little farther back in there, but they're there, so get on them. And that should do it for the forecast coming up. Weather should be good for Memorial Day weekend. Remember, stay safe. And now that I'm mentioning it, that is the topic of tonight's show, safety. excuse me. And, you know, we're about to get into full jet ski, boat, or swing season, I should say. So, you know, let's go over, you know, for all those that need the info or don't know, the 411 on how, you know, what you should be worried about, what you need to have, and what would be good to bring along with you as well. Remember, folks, you can always call in and chat. The number is 714-816-4727. All calls are taken, so please call in. As well as if you are a guest in the chat room, you can sign in using Facebook. If you're on the Kayak Fishing Radio website, underneath that little chat room there, you'll see the register or sign in. Just click sign in, click the Facebook tab, and you'll be right in, as long as you're logged in your Facebook account as well. And so that way you can chat up with our cast of characters in the chat room. We've got, let me go over who's in there. We got 59 Bassman. What's going on, dude? We got the Tree Hugger Chip Gibson. We got Mr. Hatchet Jack. Mr. Mark Lozier. Just showing up is Mr. Red Raider Angler. What's going on, man? Mr. R. Lee. What's going on, dude? And Mr. Sean Russell. What's going on, y'all? Alrighty. So let's get right to it. Let's start off with safety. And I know this is something that, you know, in the past I really preach about. And I'm going to preach about it again this season. I've seen some really not the best decision-making by some people. But please, folks, first thing for safety, wear the PFD. It's doing you no good. In your tank well, stuck in your, you know, inside your boat. You know, please wear your PFD. I know that there are some folks out there that will be going, or some states that will be making it mandatory for all paddle and pedal craft to require all personnel on that vessel to be wearing a PFD. We've been, you know, lucky so far this year. We've had some incidences where people were having situations, but no fatalities as of yet that I know of. Lately, I should say. I can think of in the top of my head. And, you know, we've been very lucky. I've seen a lot more people out on the water and a lot of people not wearing their PFDs. If they don't have them or they don't like to wear them, remember, folks, you know, it's better to have it on and not need it than to need it and not be wearing it. You know, let's go over PFD selection. And I'm going to be truthfully honest with you, folks. I don't care if it's a, you know, one of those nasty orange ones. As long as you're wearing it, you're better with it on. But, you know, go out and find a PFD that's comfortable for you. Personal preference for me is the foam ones, the old-fashioned type, I guess is the best way to call it. Stahlquist Fisherman is a great one. Along with, let's see here, we'll get some folks in the chat room chipping in here soon. But any of the, you know, so you got Stahlquist, you've got Adventure Technologies, I think, makes some. Just a bunch of companies that make some really good kayak-friendly PFDs. And, you know, you're definitely going to want one with a high back on it, meaning that the padding, all right, the foam, the flotation piece is high up. It doesn't cover your whole back. Allows for airflow, a lot more comfort, especially with your traditional seats. And, you know, getting on to another thing, the manual inflatable PFDs are nice, or the waist belt are nice for comfort. Yes, they are very comfortable to wear. Small, compact, no issues. But if something would ever happen, i.e. you get run over by a boat, you get knocked off, you know, knocked out, you know, you got a jig stuck in a tree and you're trying to pop it out, all of a sudden you pull a Bill Dance and it snaps off the tree and comes back and slams you in the forehead, guess what? Unless you're Mike Tyson or, you know, Evander Holyfield and you get smacked with a 1-ounce jig in the dome, most likely you're going out. So, you know, that manual PFD isn't going to inflate on you. It kind of, you know, loses that whole purpose. Automatic PFDs, you know, if you're going to wear them, make sure you do proper maintenance on them. Make sure that the, you know, the CO2 cartridge is, you know, always, you know, good. Make sure that the threading is good, no rust. When we start seeing rust and issues, get a new PFD. Make sure it works. Go ahead and inflate it a couple times. They are reusable, folks. Get used to wearing it. If that thing pops off and you're not used to it, and you're going to get scared because a lot of times it's coming up high on your ears. So don't panic. Use it a couple times. Realize what you can do. If you're a heavy guy, guess what? You're going to get a big PFD. I hate to tell you. You know, not razzing on the big guys. I'm a big guy too. But, you know, sometimes the automatic or manual inflatables have situations about holding up. We'll hurt you up. Yak Chum put on here, and welcome Yak Chum, by the way. You heard those gas assist ones opening up when it rains. Well, they actually run on a float switch. So unless that float switch is getting, let me rephrase that. I know a lot of them run on a float switch. Let me put it to you that way. And what happens is when that PFD gets flooded in water, right? That float switch pops up, hits the I guess the best way to put it is like a primer on a gun, punches the seal that's there, and inflates on you. So that is a, you know, unless that switch has gone bad, the only time I could think of it going off on you. And, you know, like I said, a lot of times there's other parts to them. So if you do fall in for whatever reason, you need to not only replace a new CO2 cartridge when you do get back in the kayak, but, you know, you're replacing a switch or what else goes along with it. And that's going to lead me to my next thing. Practice getting in and out of your kayaks, okay? I know I was at the Wild River Outfitters demo on Saturday, and it was a sight to see. People falling in, and you know, not everyone was falling in, but a good number of people turtled. And, you know, that's the great thing about these things is there's enough people around to help you. And, you know, just seeing that, you know, reminded me, you know what, it better be good for me to go out and just practice that. And I did that the day after in Rudy and dumped my kayak a couple times. And folks who don't know about Jackson kayaks, if this seat is installed properly, it won't fall out. Trust me. you know, so go ahead and go practice doing that. Find any American Canoe Kayak Association instructor. You just go to the ACA.org, I believe it is, and, you know, look for a local instructor. It might cost you 30, 40, you know, $100, but they'll teach you something that you didn't know, and it'll be good for you. A lot of times they hold seminars like that on their own that you can go to, pay like $10 or whatever they want to do. So definitely check that out. Practice it, folks. It's not if it's going to happen, it's when you will fall out. And, you know, knock on wood, I haven't fallen out of my or turtled my kayak in a long time. But that doesn't mean I don't practice. And, you know, like I said, I did mine on Sunday. Make sure I was good and well-versed into it, especially if you buy a new kayak. Every kayak's different. Every kayak has a different set of stability. and definitely, you know, practice. Get in and out. Even if for 20 minutes you fall out three or four times, at least you have an idea of what you got to get going. Devils 2-0. You're depressing me there, chum. Anyway, so definitely, you know, try that out. Going on to the next thing. All right, a lot of us will be fishing at night or already been fishing at night. Coast Guard, this isn't just some local state stuff here, folks. This is the gambit up and down the coastline of pretty much every on every saltwater body or any body of water at the Coast Guard or anyone really, you know, what's the polices. And that is, you do need a 360-degree white light at any time when the sun sets or before the sun rises. Okay? I've seen a lot of people out there lately that have, that don't have a light on. And, you know, that's definitely not good. Even as simple as taking a, you know, jimmy rigging up a simple, you know, lantern on top of a pole. It's still 360. You need that 360 degree light. Yak-Tech makes a great one called the Visipole. It's definitely a great piece of equipment. Sorry, I kind of blanked out there reading the chat room, but definitely check out Yak-Tech, their Visipole, their Visicarbon. Really nice, bright. Can't go wrong with that. The Scotties make one. It's a pretty inexpensive piece of equipment there. And if you're going to use a flag, use one with a reflective strip, or take a piece of reflective strip and, you know, tie it to the back of your PFD. It'll reflect a lot of your light from behind you, where your light's going to be 99 times out of 100, and, you know, help you become more visible. One thing that I just had reminded myself on about lights, kayaks do not need, nor should they have at any time, red and green navigational lights, okay? It is a safety issue, okay? Because, for this reason, if I'm in a boat and I see a red and green light, most of the time, it's going to be a green or a red, okay? I am assuming that that is a vessel, motor-powered vessel, okay? And that is a motor-powered vessel at under power, okay? If it's a vessel that is not under power, it will have that 360-degree light that will be visible, okay? If I see that, I'm thinking that that is a vessel. You know, you take some of these guys that don't know what they're doing, okay, folks, and it turns into a bad situation because they're going to cut it real close sometimes, all right? So please do yourself a favor. Through only a white 360-degree light, and you should be good. And don't worry about your headlamps. And yes, technically a kayak under with a motor should have a red and green. That is correct, yeah, chum. But I'm talking about pedal and paddle. If you have if you are under power via trolling motor, then you are registered. That means you must have a red and green set of navigational lights at night. Only if you're under motor power. What's going on, City of Ash? So, you know, just keep that in mind. I don't want to, you know, find anyone hurt. If you're in Rudy Inlet, you've probably seen them at night. The SEAL team's coming in. They tell you, if they don't see you, they're not going to stop for you. The reason they're coming in out at night. So, please, folks, be safe. Have the light at night. Put reflective strips on your kayak. Put reflective strips on your paddle, on your PFD. If you got one, wrap it around your head. Because anything that'll make you as visible as possible. I don't want to hear about anyone getting ran over. Because that'll just really depress me. Because I am doing this show so these people know. So please use the proper safety equipment. at night, and that is the 360-degree light. The brighter, the better, personally. So we've gone over PFDs, getting back in your kayak, and lights. Those are three big things that, you know, I see a lot of people not doing. The fourth big thing, you need, per Coast Guard regulations, if you're in the saltwater, and it's always a good thing to have, some sort of signaling device. Audible signaling device, I should say. So go out and buy yourself a whistle. Steal one from your kids. You're looking for, you know, any small whistle. West Marine sells one. I think it's like $8, if that. It's like two of those really nice, high-powered whistles. They're thin. Okay, so they don't take up a lot of space. They fit in a PFD really well. Throw a lanyard on there and you never lose it. Put in each PFD you have if you have more than one. And right there, you're now Coast Guard compliable. You have a PFD. You have a signaling device. Okay? Make sure you have a fishing license. And you're golden. Are the three main things that, you know, you need to have. It's night, light at night. All right, Arlene says, if you're listening to this, the podcast, my anchor trolley line has reflective stitching. Okay, I'm going to give you my opinion on this, folks, and I'm taking this not just from a kayaking standpoint, but from a boating standpoint, and that is this, and I'm going to quell a major kind of myth, I guess that's the best way to put it. 9 times out of 10, a boater doesn't notice the color of the boat. Okay, you could buy a fluorescent orange boat, and if you're in enough swell, or if it's low light conditions, guess what? He's not noticing the kayak. What he is noticing is you. So that's why I said I just added one to my PFD. It's a reflective belt. You can buy them at most running stores have them, stuff like that. If you buy the real cheap ones, they're like $2 for a reflective belt. All right, throw some glue on there and slap it on. That'll help to make them see you. I know Sun Jammers, the gentleman down in Panama City. Remember, folks, go to Sun Jammers if you're ever in Panama City. I can't remember your name, buddy. I'm so bad with names, I'm sorry. But definitely check them out. Great company. Sell Hobies and Natives, I believe, and a bunch of other kayaks. Excuse me, a great store. So definitely check them out. He mentioned it. I believe it was on when he was on Chip Show, and that was people don't really notice the kayak as much as the person. You know, a bright colored shirt, some more reflective, you know, stitching on it. The reflective line on the kayak, yeah, get some of those V-dot vests would be great. Arlie mentioned that in the thing. But 9 times out of 10, that reflective stuff in the anchor trolling line isn't really reflective, personally for me. I don't really see the whole get up, except for maybe spending an extra $5 a foot or whatever, how much it is. Use whatever one you want to use. I have 550 cord on mine, you know, give me an idea. So, you know, but I do wear at night, you know, my PFD with my reflective on there, and I've got my lights, you know, always going on. So you can always see me, I hope. And I'm going to be adding some other things to my kayaks. Reflective stickers, you know, on the paddle. You can wave that. You know, as long as they got their lights on, they'll see you. You know, things like that, you know, to really keep you safe in those conditions where, you know, you never know what that other boater's had done that day. You know, if he's been sitting out there on anchor drinking a six-pack of, you know, Crown Royal. You know, hardcore. So you just never know. So why take the chance? You know what I mean? You know, wear what you need to be safe. Bright shirts. Yep. Oh, okay. Arlie says that it just came on mine. I took a pic and it really stood out surprisingly. Must be the what's it called? Oh, Brad from Sun Jammers. My bad. I'm jumping a million miles a minute, folks. Sorry about that. Arlie's talking about his reflective anchor trolley line, and it's Brad from Sunjammers, by the way. Let me clarify that all for everyone. And welcome, Brad. Pleasure having you. So let's talk about, we've gone over, you know, what you need to be Coast Guard compliant. PFD, you've got a whistle, all right, and you have the light at night. You also got your fishing license, I hope. But, you know, and other reflective devices at night. That's when you're going to get the most in trouble, 9 times out of 10, is at night and or nasty weather. Let's talk about dealing with cruddy conditions. And the first thing I could think of would be knowing your limitations, knowing that, okay, if it's blowing 15 to 20 and I'm just starting off, probably not the best time to go out or pick a new destination. You know, I've been in some nasty weather. 10 to 15 was really bad one day. I was also caught out in, you know, when a storm was pushing in, so it really picked up the waves really bad. You know, you got to know your limitations of yourself, your kayak, and, you know, what you can handle. I think that's the biggest thing. You know, you hear a lot of us say, you know, you're not going to be able to do a lot when you first start off. Your muscles just aren't ready for it 9 times out of 10 to deal with, you know, a strenuous activity like that. You know, even some of the more experienced people, you could take a guy, he can paddle around a lake, no problem. You throw him out in an inlet that's pushing water real heavily, like Glenhaven will, you know, around some of those smaller islands or around the beach there, he's going to struggle, or they're going to struggle. You know, not going to leave out the ladies there. They're going to struggle, okay? You get stuck underneath the Lesnar Bridge, it's going to be tough for you, you know. So, you know, get yourself used to it. I mentioned this back in, I think, February or March. You know, get your body ready for the, you know, a strenuous activity like that. For those with bad tickers, you got to really pick your days then. You don't want to have a situation where you're, you know, overstraining yourself. Because then you could have a heart episode and then no one's going to have a happy Christmas. So definitely, get, you know, work your way up to doing things, you know, things that you normally wouldn't do. Let's say, if you're just getting into kayaking or you haven't been kayaking all year, probably not the best idea to paddle out to the first island, which is about a 3-mile paddle. You know, things like that. Definitely want to, you know your limitations. And that should be enough on that subject. What else should you carry? Let's get into the technical side. If you have a bad ticker, you don't want to be eating cheeseburgers beforehand, okay? Or if you're diabetic, it won't help you out any. Don't talk about diabetes because I am a diabetic. If you are diabetic, you should already know that you should be taking snacks out with you. Let me rephrase that. Smart snacks. Take a couple of apples. I know Jif, I think, some ones I have downstairs, have the Jif single-serving peanut butters. Guess what? You can throw a couple of them in your crate, in your pack, whatever you use, and that's a great way to get, you know, a good shot of burn juice in you. Don't be sucking down sodas, stuff like that, especially now. We're getting some really warmer weather. I think I don't even think it's going to hit 60s at night, or excuse me, 70s during the daytime anymore. You're looking at 80-degree weather in the midday for right now up here in Virginia. So, you know, that's sweating and burning a lot of stuff, you know, along with, you know, being hydrated. Take along water. Take along a Gatorade or two. Always stay hydrated, please, folks. You do not want to get in a situation of dehydration. It's not good for you, especially if you have, you're older in age. I see a lot of people over 50. You are susceptible, if you're over 50, to having complications, I guess the best way to put it. through strenuous activity and dehydration. And it is going to be humid. Thank you, Orly. You know, the heat's not the killer. It's the humidity 9 times out of 10. Because your sweat's just not burning off. It's just sticking to you. So you're not cooling down. Let me go over on humidity and heat. The first signs of heat issues, heat, as we call in the EMT field, heat casualties. The first one is heat exhaustion. Okay, your body temp's probably around 99 to 100. Okay, you're thirsty, most likely. You're many cases don't show a cool and clammy skin, but the person just doesn't feel right. They might be a little delusional. Might feel very tired, weak, you know, and nauseous, and having nausea spells. That's the first sign of heat exhaustion. That's a stepping stone. Once you have heat exhaustion, then you become a serious heat casualty after that if you keep on going. You're looking at, you know, heat stroke at the highest level. And that is, you know, your body just starts shutting down. We had an incident last year where we had a gentleman who was not kayaking, but biking, you know, riding a bike. Middle of the day, was going with a buddy. Buddy was fine because he'd been hydrating. The guy apparently was having a party the night before, so he was drinking the summer killer alcohol. And, he went into full heat stroke. Basically, what happens is, and you will have brain fart. Your body will start breaking, shutting down, okay? If you are in a high enough state of heat stroke, you do go into coma, and there is a possibility of death. You hear it all the time about football players and stuff like that. This is no joke, ladies and gentlemen. Please, hydrate, okay? That's the number one way to combat it. Hydrate, and if it's going to be 115 degrees, go fishing in the morning, or go fishing in the evening. Don't go out in the middle of the day. That is the worst time to go. You are susceptible to becoming a heat casualty. So please be careful with that. I mentioned alcohol. Do not be drinking while you're paddling, especially this time of year. If you're going to go out, you know, to one of the, you know, to some spot, you know, sit down, relax, have a beer, cool. But as long as you're drinking lots of water, you know, no, that's not the time to be sucking down, you know, 40s with your homies, you know, constantly in the middle of the day. You will get hurt. So please, you know, if you drink one afterwards, you know, while you're sitting at home enjoying your catch. But if you're out in the water, please refrain from drinking. Plus, you have to drive home 9 times out of 10. You know, don't need a DUI in your record either. Killcliff is I mentioned Killcliff on the chat room. If you don't know what Killcliff is, it is not a hydrating drink. It is a recovery drink. So there you go with that. I'm going to put that out there. But Killcliff is a great way to recover after a long day of fishing. Please check out killcliff.com. But, you know, I'm kind of running around the gambit here because there's so many things, you know, for safety. I know yakangler.com has some really good info for you on forums and in articles, along with, you know, asking other anglers. Ask your local shop. You know, going to Abbott's River Company, going to a Sunjammers, talk to Brad. Be like, Brad, dude, what do I need? And Brad will be like, dude, you're going to need this shirt, you're going to need this and this and this to truly be safe out in the water. And that's what it's all about, folks, being safe so you can have a fun and enjoyable time and not have to worry. Three Mines worried about safety. He should have never went out to begin with. So, you know, those are the main things. Optional things you can take out, a first aid kit, you know, something simple. There are several companies that make small first aid kits with your basic necessities, Band-Aids, some gauze, some tape. To get really fancy, then you're going to get into the large wound kits, or if you need a large wound kit, most likely you did something very wrong. But a great thing that a lot of them have, or if they don't have it, and you should really go pick one up, you should find it in one of the survival stores, is a solar blanket. And it's one of those things where, you know, it's better to have it, not need it, and need it, not have it. Or if I said that correctly. But what it is a blanket you put over someone who is losing a lot of heat. I know summertime we don't really need to worry about that, but if you get in a situation where you are, let's say you're paddling down James River, okay, or you're paddling down the, what's that one in Georgia? you know, anything that, you know, any of the main rivers, or if you're out doing a, you know, just any paddle, let's say, and you get stuck out at night, you can't find your way for whatever reason, you're on one of the larger bodies of water, and you need some place to hang out, okay? At night, it does get cooler, okay? And especially if you're sunburned, and trust me, I am the sunburn king. Ask anyone that's been into a boondoggle. You will lose a lot of heat, and you will become hypothermic. So, you know, you don't need that situation, and you will become uncomfortable. A solar blanket will be good for wrapping around you to keep that warmth in and keep you safe. It's also a good thing to have in the wintertime. It's better, like I said, to have it. I think they're like $10-$15. Throw it away, forget about it until you need it. You go, ah, that's where that is, and you pull it out and you have it. You'll be a hero. So definitely check that out. And get into sun protection. Please don't be like me. Please wear sunscreen. Cancer is no joke, all right? You know, you've got, if you don't want to wear like the Columbia pants and the long sleeve shirts and the yak buffs and whatever else, at least wear a good sunscreen. Ocean Potion makes an excellent sunscreen for sportsmen. What's the other one? Bullfrog makes a great one. You know, wear a heavy duty one, 50 and plus sunscreen. Don't just like lightly put it on there, slather it on. Make yourself look like a lifeguard with the white nose or purple nose or whatever they've got going on. You know, yeah, they might make fun of you, but you'll be laughing at them when they're going in for getting a thingamajigger removed from their skin. So please, either wear the proper clothing, long sleeve shirts. Columbia makes a great one, along with their pants, the ripstop style pants. They'll keep the sun off your legs, off your arms. Buff makes a great, you know, headpiece around your face. There are other companies out there that make a great headwear. Wear a hat, wide brim hat if you can find it. You know, little things like that. Yeah, please support Ocean Potion. That's why I mostly said that first. Redfish Chuck, support him. He did make your stand in your local store. So you'll be helping out a host and a good friend of Kayak Fishing Radio. A boonie hat works great. You know, things like that. Yak Chum makes a great point. Pirate hat all the way. You know, tap into your inner Jack Sparrow, if you want to. It'll be a good fun all around. So, you know, little things, folks, stay hydrated, have your proper safety gear, and ask questions if you don't know. We'll be all, you know, myself, Mr. Lozier, many kayakers out there will be more than willing to, you know, spread their knowledge. And if you see someone out there that does not have the proper gear, it's not like back in the day where, you know, snitches get stitches or anything like that. Mention it to them. You know, just like, hey, man, just one, you know, be subtle, use some tact. You're like, hey, man, just want to remind you, you need a light at night, you know, if you're going to be out here, if you see someone launching it, like, sundown, you know, just remind someone. Because 9 times out of 10, you, at least I hope, it's something that they go, oh, shoot, I forgot. You know what I mean? You know, I would appreciate someone mentioning, hey, you know, where's your light? Oh, that's right, I forgot that. You know what I mean? You know, watch out for each other. Because you never know when you might need them to watch out for you. I think I hit everything. I hope I did at least. let's see here. Everyone's in the chat room. We had Scuba Steven show up. What's going on, dude? Hoorah. I think that's the only other guy that showed up since I've been running my jib. A spare paddle, definitely. Don't want to get in a situation where you lose your paddle. There is a bar in a sandbar, not like a bar, but sandbar, in Lynn Haven that is called Moss Paddle Bar for a reason. I like to, I forget who lost their paddle. Lost their paddle at like midnight, and he didn't get help until about 4 a.m. when someone finally paddled out there to give him a hand, get him back in. So, you don't want to have that kind of situation. So please, you know, if you like to carry a paddle, secure your paddle with a paddle leash. But again, they could fail. It's always nice to carry a spare. We all have excuse me, dinner's coming back with a vengeance. We all have paddles. Stick them in the boat. Secure them in some way, however you think you can, and enjoy it. Let's see. Aren't all paddles spares? Well, not all of us have the joy of being a Hobie dealer there, Brado. good on you, I guess. You're looking through. I think that's it. With that, I'd like to thank everyone for showing up. Again, be safe this Memorial Day weekend. I can't stress that enough. All those boaters that haven't been out all year, they're finally brushing off the dust on their boat, on their jet skis, will be out on the water most likely, especially here in Virginia. We're looking at a beautiful weekend. Light, sustainable winds. So you're going to see a lot of people out there on the water. Old saying, we stay in the Marine Corps, keep your head on the swivel. Guess what? You better be swiveling like crazy. You better look like a bobblehead, okay? Because things, boaters will be out there in the water. Many of them don't know what they're doing. And it's not for all boaters, but there are some that just do not have the common sense to realize that in Rudy Inlet, it's a no-wig zone, the entire Rudy Inlet. If you ever see William Rogowski, ask him about that. but, you know, stay safe. Keep your head in the swivel. You know, wear your stuff and have fun. I mean, we're getting a great time of the year. A lot of the species are moving in that, you know, from the wintertime patterns. Things are really picking up. You know, enjoy yourself. Enjoy it with your family and friends, because that's what it's all about. All right. And Yak Chum's talking about Hobies, slamming them. All right. Well, Brad's here. Ladies and gentlemen, please check out Sun Jammers out of Panama City. Great setup there. You know, they will treat you right. I know Chip, the 300 Gibson, talks about them all the time. So please check them out. Talked to Brad a couple of times, and really great guy, and I think he'll take care of you. Actually, I know he will. So check it out. Brad, if you could toss up your website to Sunjammers, it's probably just like sunjammers.com, but it'd be greatly appreciated. Also, the New Jersey Fluke Tournament is going on July 20th to 21st, up somewhere in Jersey. it'll be a good tournament. Things are really picking up. I heard some really good reports out of Long Island on some really nice fluke being caught already, which is good to hear. Congratulations to everyone who braved the Jamaica Bay Tournament and its excellent weather finally. congrats to all of them. You know, kudos to the guys that drove up there. I wish I could have made it this year. It's in Point Pleasant, New Jersey, by the way. See here. The Boondoggle. All right, let's talk about the Boondoggle. The Boondoggle is coming up. It'll be in Columbus Day weekend in October, the 5th to the 8th. It's a week after the TKAA tournament. So if you're coming from out of town, come a week early, fish the tournament. There's enough stuff in Virginia to last you throughout the week next to fishing. We got Busch Gardens, we got the oceanfront, we've got the historic triangle, Yorktown, Jamestown, and Williamsburg, excuse me. So definitely check that out. It's the birthplace of our country, folks. You can't go wrong with that. So definitely come out, you know, enjoy the local hospitality. It'll be good for you. And then enjoy the Boondoggle with all of us. It'll be launched out of First Landing State Park, the tip of Virginia there. Beautiful area. Can't say enough about, you know, the hospitality that they're going to be showing us. Mr. Loja says that TFO has came on. Slayer Inc. has came on too, by the way. So that'll be good for everything, for the raffles. And it should be a lot of fun. Boondoggle button, push it. I haven't seen it. Let me scroll down here. There it is.
Boondoggle. Boondoggle. What the heck is a boondoggle? It's a bunch of crazy kayakers getting together in Virginia Beach October 5th through 8th. For more information, check out yakangler.com, the ultimate resource for kayak fishermen.
There you go, folks. There it is. The Virginia Beach Boondoggle. And that was so much fun, I'm going to do it one more time.
Boondoggle. Boondoggle. What the heck is a boondoggle? It's a bunch of crazy kayakers getting together in Virginia Beach October 5th through 8th. For more information, check out yakangler.com, the ultimate resource for kayak fishermen.
There you go. We'll be talking more about it when he starts getting closer and what kind of gear you're going to need. And if you're looking for places to stay, I think there's one or two more cabins left in Virginia Beach, at First Landing. Plenty of camping spots. If you're bringing family and they're not the kind of roughing it style, we've got more than enough hotels, motels, in the area. We have the oceanfront. We've got some up here on the north side. So definitely, you know, you're going to have more than enough, plus a KOA just down the road as well. All right. Mr. Steve Chapman did that for us. Oh, wow. Thanks, Steve-O. Mentioning Steve Chapman, check out Fishing Florida Radio. We support them. They support us with mutual respect and admiration. Can't say enough about Fishing Florida Radio with Steve Chapman, Boudreaux, and Captain Mike Ortego. Great group of guys. I know they're doing some big charities coming up. So definitely check them out every Saturday morning from 6 till 9, I believe, on AM 940 The Game. You can check them out at 940thegame.com and listen live if you are up here in Virginia, North Carolina, Alaska, who knows. Go ahead and listen to Fishing Florida Radio. One really great show. Okay, let's see here. I think that does it for those shameless plugs. I'd like to thank everyone that showed up tonight in the chat room.
59 Bassman. Give you a quick report on the freshwater scene. With that last new moon, expect the bluegill to be on the beds if they're not already on them. That means the bass can be up shallow too. Check around the reeds. Throw that bugger all. Big tube, swim baits, stuff like that are going to work great this time of year. And work those deeper channels and points. You might be surprised what you might get. Rattle traps, crankbaits, spinnerbaits, things like that. You got to love them. Crappie guys are getting really good at them around docks and pylons and submerged trees, stuff like that. So get on that freshwater, sodium-free stuff. Again, thank you, 59 Bassman, Mr. Chip Gibson, our guest, Mr. Hatchet Jack, give me a call, bud. Mr. Lozier, check out his show with his wonderful wife on Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. It's the Double L Show. They'll have some great special guests at the time, and it's always a good show. So definitely check them out on Tuesday nights, same place, same time, at kayakfishingradio.com. Red Angler, thank you. Mr. Arley, hang in there. Scuba Stan, what's going on, man? Give me a call sometime. Mr. Sean Russell, what's going on? Brad from Sun Jammers out of Panama City. Hang on, I'm getting there. I'm scrolling down my screen. And Mr. Yak Chum, a.k.a. City of Ash. What's going on, man? Go Rangers. I'd like to say thanks to Jackson Kayaks. You know, support Jackson Kayaks. We've got Emily Jackson, who's training right now to go to the London Olympics. So she's actually in London taking care of some stuff. You know, congratulations, Emily. I know your dad is super proud of you. And, you know, can't say enough about Jackson Kayaks. I mean, it's just awesome. Let's see here. What else is going on? Slayer Inc., the baddest soft plastics and jig heads in the game. I can't say enough about them. They're just awesome, sauce approved. Akuma, you know, Akuma Fishing, great products there. Definitely check them out at akumafishing.com. Also, go to slayerinc.com. Check out their new colors. Awesome. Yeti Coolers, Wiley Stronger, Key Size Longer, Storquist PFDs, and bloodydex.com. I think I hit everyone. Support your local shops. Get on it, folks. I hope you have a great weekend. I know I will. Support local businesses. Support local charities. And keep fishing. Always wear your PFD and stay safe, everybody. Have a wonderful Memorial weekend, and I'll talk to you next week. Talk to you later, folks. Have a great night. Bye-bye.